I've been trying to think how would I apply Robert Obecker's regeneration technology to a general case of prevention as opposed to taking care of wounds after the fact? In other words, how do we regenerate the body? It's a more generic question. And I've already run afoul of the property of electricity when passed across the heart and the brain. They don't like it, especially when the electricity is pulsed. So there's that issue. Although the body has its own electrical production all the time of bio-generated electricity, but it's extremely weak. It's probably either in the lower nanoamps or in the picoamps. But that's current. And then I have another problem I was trying to discern, and that is, how do I apply Leon Ernestine's biocircuitry to this protocol of Robert Obecker's use of silver and electrical current to regenerate the body? And I think I have the answer. The answer lies in not using current, but strictly voltage. In other words, we use an open circuit as opposed to a closed circuit. And a good example of that is an earthing circuit, namely a single wire connecting a grounding rod to an earthing bed sheet, let's say, and you sleep on that, and that's an open circuit in which you equalize the voltage difference between your body and the earth and try to maintain that equalization at all times, because we're under the influence of electrical sources of pollution, man-made, which don't exist without the advent of the modern era of the AC age, the AC current. When we live in our homes, we're bombarded by an AC field, and without that, when the power goes out in the neighborhood, I'm finding, both from my experience and somebody else's on the internet, that the body voltage goes to practically zero as if it's being grounded. So earthing is not a problem without the advent of electromagnetic pollution. It's only because we live in a field, an AC field, within our homes and buildings, that we have to think about grounding the body. Okay, that aside, how do we apply Robert Obecker's technique? Well, I was thinking the best way to do it is within the medium of water. In other words, let's say in this particular instance that I'm considering, and that's regeneration of the whole pelvic area, not just the penis, not just the problem of how do we reverse our circumcision, but how do we reverse the developmental process of the body? Because the question that started to arise in my mind, if we heal a wound by way of doing more than just healing, by regenerating tissue that was missing in order to fuse the wound without any scar tissue, what is the age of the tissue that replaces the tissue that was lost? Or a burn victim, even a better example. A burn, third degree burn. What is the age of the flesh, of the tissues, that replaces the tissue that was lost? We know the age of the tissue that was there, that was burned away. It was the age of whatever the age of the body was. Let's say 20 years, 30 years, 30-year-old. And of course, the tissue is not necessarily 30 years old, but it has the signature of being 30 years old. It has the agedness signature because it's, replaces itself after a certain length of time. But because of those telomeres at the ends of the DNA that start, I think, to unravel or something, that starts to mark the age of the flesh that gets carried over when mere cell mitosis replaces the old cell with a new cell. They pass the baton, so to speak, of what age they're supposed to indicate they are, so that the body dies. The body ages and dies because it has a reference to go by as to its agedness. So what happens when we produce connective tissue with a positive ion charge, and then bind silver ions to that connective tissue or scar tissue, whatever it's called, collagen, which then somehow miraculously converts when the silver is electroplated to that collagen, it somehow converts that collagen into stem cells, which then differentiate and turn into specialized cells. What is the age of that specialized cell once the stem cell does its final stage of conversion? Is it newborn age? Because mere cell mitosis is brought about when we tug the skin of the shaft of the penis. It stresses the skin and causes cell mitosis, cell division. But the division maintains the age signature of the pre-existing skin that's already there. And so we don't get the new nerves. We don't get the new musculature of the foreskin. We just get more of same. Not only same in terms of the location of the skin at the base of the penis, rather than at the tip of what would have been the foreskin, but also the age of the fact that it's not newborn skin. Because if it was newborn skin, it would remember, oh, aren't we supposed to have nerves and muscles here and they're not there? See? So this is really, I think, the fulcrum upon which regeneration, according to Robert O. Becker's technology, is founded upon, is that the replacement tissue has forgotten its age. It would have to. That's the only way, as I see it, logically trying to think this through, that the skin of the penis would remember its DNA roots at the time of conception and say, hey, look, we got to put in a fully developed functional foreskin here, and we got to make sure all the nerves are in the right place, and if they're missing, we got to put them in, along with the musculature that helps cinch up the tip of the foreskin to keep it lying ahead of the head of the penis, and to that discourages the foreskin from retraction, and then staying behind the head rather than falling forward. So if this is the case, okay, let's take the next step. The next step is that I ran across this hair removal product, and it didn't work for me, probably because I'm a guy and all my hair is very coarse. Maybe I have to be a woman and then it works for me, because then the hair would be more baby fine. So it has a tweezers as well as a patch. Now let's just focus on the tweezer instrument. The tweezer attachment to this instrument, you grab hold of a single hair, I think it was a quarter inch away from the skin with this tweezer implement, and it imparted an electrical charge to the hair follicle. And as I understand it, if I can remember correctly, when you held the device, your finger touched a contact plate on the device, so it completed a circuit. So you were passing a mild circuit of radio frequency. No, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of a different device. No. There was no contact plate on the handheld device. The tweezers was two contacts, and you passed a radio frequency current across them with the hair in between, and that somehow passed that radio frequency down the shaft of the hair to the follicle, which somehow killed the follicle. Actually, I can't remember if there was a contact on the handheld part of the device to create a current down your arm. I don't remember. All I remember is it was a radio frequency that killed the hair follicle, and the hair would come out if you held it there for I don't know, it was a long time. It seemed like a long time, a couple of minutes. Okay, so you're in a, let's say you stick your butt, your pelvis, into a foot bath, a plastic foot bath, and immerse your fanny into 6 inches of water. And then you put an electrode, a silver electrode, let's say somewhere in the water, let's say in front of you. And then I was just assuming that that would be your positive lead, and then your negative reference lead would be, let's say, at the base of both of your feet, to create a circuit up your feet and then coming out through the pelvic area into the water and to the positive electrode. And you might have more than one positive electrode, one behind and one in front of you. Be that as it may, the silver is the positive electrode, and the contact plates on the bottom of the feet would be the negative electrode. and your pelvis is immersed in this water. And then I discerned that the water has to be distilled, because the sweat of the body, if it's going to sweat, and it may not want to because of the fact that you've got a positive flow going from the electrode immersed in the water to the negative electrode of the feet, which means you're going to have the flow of electricity, a positive charge going into the body, into the pelvic region, through the skin from the outside, from the water. And that direction of current may discourage the sweating process, because sweat is going to produce salts that are going to go into the water and ruin the process, because too much silver will be produced and turn you blue. You know, eventually, it won't take too long. Daily use, let's say. So I'm guessing or hoping that the arrangement that Robert O'Becker set up will discourage the sweat glands from sweating. But still, it's going to send positive ions of silver into the water, no more than 17 parts per million if we start off with distilled water and the body does not sweat, assuming those two criteria. Furthermore, the hair follicle, or the opening, I should say, from which the hair arises, is a perfect, beautiful avenue to send silver down that opening, because it's going to reach the deeper layers of the skin more closely in the vicinity of the growth layers of the skin at the base of the skin, which is where we want the silver to reach. So it may not be necessary to poke a hypodermic needle and drip irrigate with the help of an IV gravity drip situation, to drip a silver colloid solution into the tissues underneath the skin, and then do a reversal, like I said, in a previous episode, in which we put a negative charge above the skin in order to drive the silver up into the skin from the underside of the skin, rather than using positive above the skin to drive it down through an open wound, which we don't have if we're trying to prevent the aging process, and trying to figure out how do we use Robert O'Becker's technology in a preventative modality, in a general use situation. So all of this is very well and good, but we still have the question of, maybe that'll work for the pelvis, what I've just described, but it won't work for the whole body. But if it does work for the pelvis, the guess estimate would be, is that the pelvic region will reverse its aged signature and go backwards. So that if it starts out thinking it's 30 years old or 60 years old, it'll go backwards, and it should start to replace whatever collagen is in that area with stem cells, which will then become specialized cells, which will then start having an increase of cells interspersed among the other cells of a younger age, the age of conception, in and amongst the other cells that are already there that have an aged signature that's more similar to the aged signature of the body, namely 30, 40, 50, whatever the age of the body is. And that should indicate that there should be changes taking place, depending on how extensive, I don't know, such as replacing old hair follicles with newer ones. In other words, coarser hair follicles with more baby fine hair follicles. This should become one of the process of alteration. And of course, this is a slow process that we would notice over time. It would take weeks or months to notice it, if not years. But it should be an indication, not just the elimination of wrinkles, if there are any in that area, in any area that we're treating in this with this protocol, but the hair should change and alter its appearance, becoming more like the hair of a baby, which of course are micro hairs. They're tiny and they're baby fine. They're spread out all over the skin. So rather than take the approach of let's use a hair removal device Instead, take the regeneration approach of Dr. Robert O'Becker and simply reverse the aged signature of the body so that we don't notice the hair. You know, ideally, if we go back to the age of baby age, the hair becomes so tiny that the noticeable pubic area hair, the hair of the pubic area, disappears for all intents and purposes. Even though the hair is there, it's just not highly magnified like it normally is. And would that reduce the sperm count? Because a baby age is not sexually active. And would that be a concern about anybody? Like, oh God, you know, I can't replicate myself. No, you're regenerating yourself. That's even better. So yeah, you give up something, but you acquire something that's even better. Because you acquire the age of a body that's no longer aging, approaching death. See, it's approaching conception. It's the reverse. We have bliss. We live surrounded by bliss. We forget our bliss, but we have bliss as two bookends, so to speak, within the time frame of our lifespan. We have bliss at the time of death, and we know this because people have come back from the death process, or coming back from death, to tell us what it's like, and they say they no longer fear death because they experience bliss. But because of Leon Ernest Eamon's biocircuit of bliss, it's called that for a reason, because I contend that it's the bliss of conception that we experience because we remove the polarization that occurred during our fetal development after conception, that broke our bond with bliss that we experienced at conception because of the diversification of the body. The right limb and the left limb of the right arm and the left arm are polar opposites in terms of electrical charges. We know this based on what Leon Ernest Eamon mapped out of the body. Robert O'Becker did some mapping, but he didn't do lateral mapping. He just did mapping of the limbs versus the torso, and the head versus the torso, which is good. Leon Ernest Eamon didn't do that, but Leon did lateral mapping, and he found that the right side of the body is one polarity, and the left side is another polarity. And then he found that above the neck, the right side is opposite to what the right side is below the neck, and also the left side as well. So he found out all kinds of little fine minutiae points of mapping, but this is what I contend why the biocircuit works, is because it reverses the developmental process within the womb so that we can temporarily experience the bliss of our conception. So if the biocircuit can do that, what can Robert O'Becker's protocol do on a more permanent basis over a longer period of time? And how would we go about it? This is what I'm trying to ask the question, the $90,000 question. So I suspect this is what is happening with his protocol, is that we're reversing the aged signature of the body. It's just a question of how do we apply it. So now we can't apply current because that's too dangerous. So I'm thinking, what if we ground the body? Let's say, well, the only way to do that, that I can think of, is to put a piece of silver, let's say immersed in the water that we're sitting in, and then ground the water to the earth. Now, under normal circumstances, the body is positive in the city and the earth is negative. But if we put a negative ion generator several yards away, not too far, but a few yards away from the bathtub, let's say, charging up the airspace with a negative charge, and it does charge it, because you can measure it with a multimeter with regard to the reference of the Earth's charge value, the voltage potential of the Earth, with respect to the airspace surrounding the negative ion generator. The airspace surrounding the negative ion generator is going to be negative with regard to the Earth, which will be positive. And if we're inhaling that air, our body then becomes negative, and if we ground the water, it now becomes positive. So Our positive lead, our silver lead, connected to an earthing wire, connected to a grounding rod, that's the situation. So we put a silver rod in a silver wire immersed in the body of water, the bathtub, and then we connect that silver wire to a grounding wire that goes to a grounding rod to the earth, and then we put a negative ion generator in close proximity to the bathtub. Now I have a possible use for that setup, because what I had considered previously was simply that we're in the air surrounded by a negative charge, and we're inhaling the negative air, so the body becomes negative, and then we put a silver gauze, silverized nylon gauze, let's say surrounding the penis, and then ground that to the earth so that that's positive. The problem is that that's fairly mild, and there's no moisture to speak of to drive those silver ions into the skin. And I think immersing our whole body in the bath is more advantageous, because now we're treating the whole body. And we're altering how we bathe to make it regenerative, not just cleansing, not just hygienic. And of course it's hygienic because of the silver ions. So this sounds like a possibility, is what I'm reconciling here, is how to apply an electrostatic treatment of the body. Because now it's not exactly electrostatic. Now it's mildly amperaged, because we have a negative ion generator constantly replenishing negative ions into the airspace, and they're constantly being grounded out by the body that's earthed to the earth, grounded to the earth. So it's no longer electrostatic, and the amperage is very low. It's within tolerance, because we know it's within tolerance, because we're inhaling the air and we're grounding our body at the same time. We'd know if it was wrong. We'd feel it, and I would have felt it, because I've already tested the wrong way to do things, sending a mild microamperage across the heart and the brain. It's no good. I don't know about nanoamps. I haven't tried that yet, but microamps is no good, let alone milliamps. I don't even want to think about that. But the volts of a negative ion generated airspace within 2 yards of 1 or 2 yards of distance from the negative ion generator, with respect to the earth as a reference, is on the order of 60 to 80 millivolts, which is not bad, which is actually very good, actually, because the device I'm using right now in my pinhole-sized wound, I'm producing 42 millivolts. A little high. It should be far less than that for the smallness of the wound that I'm treating. But still, 40 millivolts is not bad. So we want something comparable when we get into the bathtub. We want it on the order of millivolts, and very small millivolts at that. We don't want it any higher, because we don't want to do damage to the heart and the brain. We want it within a range that's acceptable, tolerable, to those two vital organs that are going to be extremely sensitive to Robert O'Becker's style protocol being applied to the body, the whole body, the entire body. Now, this brings up other issues. For instance, duration. Obviously, you have, because the amperage and the volts are so low, how do you treat the body effectively? Well, about the only way to do it is to have a long duration of treatment time. And the only way to do that is to create a samadhi tank. You know, this comes out of the 70s or 60s, in which people would float in a tank filled with salt water so that the body would be buoyed up, and the water would be the body temperature, and it would be dark and quiet, and they would immerse themselves and experience bliss. Okay. How do we sleep in a samadhi tank that does not have salt water? It's distilled water. It's the right temperature, and it's the right current, amperage, and voltage, such that you're passing a current through the water, and you've got a silver electrode in the water to emit silver ions over the course of the 8 hours or whatever that you sleep in the water. Obviously, there are risks, such as drowning. At least with a flotation tank, maybe the risks were minor. I don't know. I'll have to look up the history of Somadhi tanks and see what they were doing, because I think that would be relevant to this investigation as to try how to apply that technology to work it in into the protocol to make sure that the protocol is up to snuff, so to speak, that it has all its ducks in a row, lined up in a row, so to speak, so that it's practical, so that it's doable. This has interesting possibilities, but I think I've stated just about everything I can think of in speculating how to apply this technology. So I'll just leave it at that for the moment and go back to research online to answer some of those non-answered questions, yet to be answered questions. Thank you for your patience to listen to me. Yada yada ying.